Dave Moore on Today FM.
This is called Guerrilla Radio, where we do a podcast intro, even though we don't know what we're doing in the podcast. They didn't even know it was happening. I'm just doing it, and it's happening during the radio show. It calls utterly freaked out, which is amazing. So you'll actually get to see behind the scenes where we make a banana. Live decisions as Carl eats on the banana. We'll make live decisions about what we're going to put in this week's podcast.
Right.
So first of all, hi, welcome to the podcast. Carl's eating a banana. Maria's got a pink blazer on, and it's Friday. Where we are. I don't know where
it is. It's Friday before I go on holiday.
Oh my God, he's gone to New York. He's insufferable at New York before he's even gone. Imagine what he'd be like when he comes back.
I'm actually so excited for
him. Hey, I'm Cahill here. What are you doing?
I'm walking here.
Yeah, he'll forget how to pronounce his name.
Yeah, my own name.
Cahill. It's going to be so class. He's so excited about New York.
Yeah, so excited. It's like... you know, in that episode of Friends where Joey's in London, he's like, London, baby.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the way I'm going to be in New York.
You are going to be that.
Yeah,
right,
baby.
Have you gone to New York before?
Years ago, I went with my school, like.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so you haven't been as an adult, like?
No. And Claire, my other half, hasn't ever been to America at all.
Oh, you're in for such a treat.
I'm going to freak out now with a question. I hope I won't freak out. Have you done your ESTA?
Yeah. Well, no. Claire's done the ESTA.
Is the ESTA done?
No,
is what
thank
I meant.
You. In fairness, Emer was reminding me. And I said, oh yeah, I must do that.
Yeah.
We did it the day before yesterday.
Get it done. Brilliant.
Done.
Right, this is the podcast. So the first thing we're going to talk about in the podcast is...
Well, it has to be...
Big guest. We had a big guest during the week.
Do you know, we don't ever start with the guests, though, usually on the podcast. We kind of lead up to the guests.
All right.
So I think you have a choice, right?
One.
You have Bovril chats, you have Revels chats, and...
I think Revels is important.
Pringles or something, wasn't
no,
it?
No, I think we should go at Revels. I think it was an important...
Listen, we had loads... Where's the future? We had...
Where's
crisp,
the future?
Crisp...
Taste tester Tilly. We're going to put Tilly in a second. Definitely going to put crisp taste tester Tilly in. But I think we should start with Revels. Keep it food. Right? Here's Revels. Talking about what you think there should be transfer windows for, not just football. Danny says, I'd like to transfer myself from work back to bed.
Yeah.
A lot of people on a Tuesday with a bank holiday feeling like you, Danny.
Vibe.
Absolutely feeling like you. I will say, Ellen's got a point that I think we've overlooked here, which is I was suggesting there should be a boy band transfer window where you can transfer, you know, a member of one boy band into another and kind of see how it all goes. Ellen says, Dave, Sugar Babes already invented this game. In fact, I think it was the way people praise Sir Alex Ferguson for... He had four reinventions of his squad throughout his 26-year career at Manchester United. You know, he had the original one that won the first Premier League with Cantona and Pallister and Bruce and all that. Then went into the class of 92 and won the 99 Champions League. Then there was the one that won the 2008 Champions League, and then there was this final one that won the league with Robin van Persie. What about the manager of Sugar Babes? Why is Sugar Babes' manager not lauded as actually the best manager there's ever been? That person, whoever it is, has managed more personnel changes than anyone else in
so
the
what
world.
What was the crack with the Sugar Babes?
So Sugar Babes started off three people who created the Sugar Babes back in the late 90s.
Hmm.
It was Keisha, Mutya and Siobhan. But then, like, Siobhan left. Then someone else came in. Then eventually there was a Sugar Babes that had none of the original members in. Then those three people got together and formed KMS.
Yeah, or the Origibabes.
The Origibabes, yeah, KMS. And then eventually they've come back around and now they own the name again and now they are the Sugar Babes. But literally there's been, I'd say, six different variations of Sugar Babes, at least.
Mm. I never knew that.
Yeah,
there
so
you go.
Heidi replaced Siobhan and Mutya left and then someone else replaced her and then Heidi left. Kesha was there for
Amel,
eight. Keisha or Kesha was there for a long
time. She was, yeah. Amel Baraba.
Oh yeah, Amel,
am I making that name up?
Amel was in one of the last iterations.
That's what we need a documentary on.
Yeah,
big time.
That would be interesting. Steph says that there should be a transfer between bank accounts where I, a poor person, transfer into a rich person's bank account. Yes, Steph. We would all love
I checked
that.
My bank account this morning after the bank holiday weekend. I got a fright. I thought I was scammed.
Oh no.
Do you know what you get when it's way lower than you expected?
Damien says, no, Dave. I'm calling you out on this. Backstreet Boys and NSYNC are both class, but Backstreet Boys is top, though. See, I said NSYNC was top. Mick says, Dave, didn't McFly and Busted already transfer members? Not really. They created MacBusted. which was a super team of the members of both bands, but nobody left Busted and went to McFly, or left McFly and went to Busted. At least not that I remember. Peter says transfer window for in-laws. Jesus, it'll be great. I don't know what's going on in your life, but yeah, I hear you. It will be great, in fairness. Dave's been on about the boy bands.
Morning, Dave. Have a lovely morning here, and I hear you come out with the statement that NSYNC are top tier and Backstreet Boys are a tier below. I don't think I've ever been more disgusted in all my life. I'll have to get you to retract that statement immediately, please. Backstreet Boys, best boy band on the face of the planet ever.
Listen, I'm not denying that Backstreet Boys are right up there. I'm just saying that for those three records that NSYNC did before Justin went off and became Justin Timberlake, I just think there was all killer, no filler. Just saying. But then, David, that's what it's all about. It's all about opinions. Like, Breed's got a transfer window idea.
You know the bumper bundle of crisps? You have Chickadees, Wheelies, and Bad Owl snacks. I think if we could take the snacks out of that and put in maybe Rancheros, that would be the ultimate bumper bundle. That'd be my transfer.
Gotcha. So it's the bumper. So it's like four packs of each, a 12 pack in a bag, but there's four packs of each. You want to transfer snacks out and put in Rancheros. I'd be getting rid of Chickadees.
Oh, no.
I don't think Chickadees have any business being anywhere. No.
Chickadees, exceptional crisps.
I'm not into them. Although Teresa says, this is interesting, rather than there being more options of bags in a multi-pack, Teresa wants a transfer window for Tatoes. So you have a bag of cheese and onion Tatoes, but there's a random Mighty Munch in the bag.
Ooh.
That's interesting.
I don't know how I feel about that, because the flavour profile there is very different.
It is very different, but what if... Do you remember there was those... Were they nachos or Doritos or whatever, that you didn't know whether they were hot or not?
Like,
Like, what if you just opened up a packet, and the way Dougal said, he takes one cheese, salt and vinegar, one cheese and onion, and eats them together. Like, what if you had, you know, a packet in, and potentially in the bag was... cheese and onion, salt and vinegar, smoky bacon, prawn cocktail. You don't know what you're getting.
I mean, you could also do that with Pringles.
Yes.
Or, do you know what I was thinking there? Tins of sweets. If you could transfer out some of the Quality Street and put them into Tins of Roses.
Or make a super tin. Do you remember Revels? Yes, Revels, yes.
There's a reason they're not around anymore.
Ah, Revels are still not going to be, are they?
Surely not.
Only I haven't in cinemas have ever seen them.
They definitely exist, though.
I would say they're discontinued.
This is another discussion we need to have. 087-4100-102. Dave Moore. People are freaking out about Revels, so Aaron's been on.
Revels are very much still around.
God.
Find them on a foreign ID basis, maybe. Search the bag for the raisins, because they know the raisins. And then you can never tell whether it's coffee or orange.
Ugh.
Love the orange, hate the coffee. Always ends up being coffee.
Well, see, you hate the coffee, Aaron, but then what about Patrick?
Ah, Dave. I love Revels, especially the coffee one. You shut up, Carl. Carl, the coffee one is lovely. But anyway, bring back Crunchos, the best crisp ever.
Crunchos? I don't remember Crunchos. Anyone remember Crunchos?
Well, I'm looking them up here now.
You have a look at them. Dee's been on about Revels.
You are mistaken. Revels are still a go. I bought at last week because I love them just to get caramel ones. So I will put up with the coffee one. I'll put up with the orange one. Don't mind the minstrel. Don't mind what is there. But when you get the hard chewy caramel one, it's so worth it.
Surely a missed opportunity here by the makers of Revels is to keep the Revels mystery bag, but then sell the individual ones of the other ones. So sell a bag of only raisins, a bag of only coffee, a bag of only orange, a bag of only caramel. There's no nuts in Revels, is there?
I don't know. I wouldn't go
near.
You
don't know. You don't know about Revels.
But like, with that whole thing of you'd put up with the other ones for like... No, don't do that. Just don't, get different chocolate.
Tilly.
I have to agree with Carl. Revels.
Come on.
They're the devil's sweets.
Thank you.
The ratio for the coffee one, for any other one, even the orange, which I didn't like, was like about 1,000,000 to 1. Rotten.
Yeah,
just a lot of people feel like, oh.
There you go. There you go. That's a discussion about Revels. And personally, I think Revels are underrated. Carl detests them. But I think there should be more, like, mystery things. like the mystery Pringles. You shouldn't know what you're getting all the time.
Okay, what's next? Quick.
What's next is Tilly the crisp taste tester, speaking of Pringles.
Oh, brilliant.
Tilly had one of the most interesting jobs ever. Have you had the most interesting job I've maybe ever heard of?
Well, I did, but yeah, it was really interesting, yeah. So, yeah, I kind of just fell into it.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, hang on, because no one else knows this. I've only seen your message. So tell everybody, right. What was your job?
I used to make flavours for crisps and snacks and things, yeah.
Flavours? So were you effectively a crisp taste tester?
I would be, yes, yeah.
And
believe it or not, you can get fed up tasting crisps and ice cream. And
right, I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to explore all of that. So first of all, yeah, tell me about how did you get to a situation where somebody employed you to be a taste tester?
Well, now, there's an interesting story. I tried to do applied physics in Carlow IT. Mm-hmm. Then I moved to Gloucester in England and I applied for a lab tech job that I didn't realise was in an actual food company.
Right.
They interviewed me and, she's a good person to be doing this. Don't ask me why, but yeah.
So
there
what,
you go.
What kind of, like, are they flavours that we'd know? Like, was it a brand?
Yeah.
Well, go on, give us some details and come on, be juicy about this.
Well, no, it was like, if you like, a wholesaler flavour company.
Right, right.
That supplied the likes of Walkers and KP.
Oh, I see. You know. So if they wanted a salt and vinegar flavour, they would buy it in a powder form or whatever that you would have created in your lab.
Exactly, exactly.
Gotcha, gotcha.
And I really think they employed me because I was Irish and they really wanted the tato flavour, the tato cheese and onion. That was the big thing.
In fairness, nobody has ever managed to match the tato cheese and onion, let's be honest.
No, you can't eat it. You can't eat it.
Okay, so what kind of flavours can you remember? Like, was it all the standard ones? Was there anything exciting when it came along and you went, ooh, I can't wait to design a new paprika gorgonzola flavour?
God, no. No, I do remember KP were looking to try a different flavour for their skips.
Oh, right.
And so they tried tomato ketchup.
Hang on a second. Do I have a memory of a tomato ketchup flavoured crisp or is that and wasn't
Skips? You might have, yeah. You might have. Personally, hated it. And I can still taste that tomato ketchup powder taste. That, and there's a smoke taste that I can still taste anywhere.
And when you were tasting them, were they on the actual crisps or were they kind of, as you said, just like a powder form that you have to just taste
initially
the powder?
It would just be powder form.
Right.
Then you put them on crisps and then you get everyone and anyone in the entire building to taste them and go, what do you think that is?
Okay,
I no longer know. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. It's like when you say a word over and over again, it starts to lose its meaning. I'm sure at some point your tongue must go, I am so used to a salt and vinegar flavor, I can't tell the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. My tongue has gone numb from the acid in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever kind of overdo it in the flavor department and kind of go, woo, put that one in the bin. It's too strong.
Ah, yeah, you would do. Like, but it would never get onto the crisp. You just kind of taste it. Oh, God, no, that's disgusting, you know. But it's hard because I didn't particularly like bacon flavors. And we had one that we called farty bacon flavour and it was just rotten. You know, one of the ones that you taste forever and ever and ever.
Farty bacon.
But I'd be tasting that. Like for the first couple of months, I used to be so sick going home.
I
don't want to eat anything.
Well, my next question was definitely, how does this affect, you know, whatever you have for lunch? And more importantly, as you said, when you're finished with the day's work, like, can you even sit down to dinner?
Well, you see, that was the thing. Because I was in my early 20s at the time, I was literally buying convenience food and I'd be sitting there eating going, yeah, I know what's in that one. Oh, God.
This is R1652. I just made that in the lab today. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I lost weight. So awesome. Yeah. You'd imagine going to a place where there's like bin bags full of crisps, you know, that I'd actually put on weight. No, I lost weight.
And did you design like flavors for anything else other than crisps?
Oh, yeah. Like there was microwave chips. For a while. And they really wanted a salt and vinegar flavour put on it, but sure, it was impossible because anything you put on it would be flashed off with the heat in the microwave. So
that didn't work.
Then I had to make a vegetarian burger taste like a real beef burger. That was 12 weeks of my life that I'll never get
I'm going to say, did it work? It obviously didn't, given your attitude towards it there.
No, it's just, like burgers at like 9:30 in the morning for an entire 8-hour day wasn't great. But there's ice cream flavours and we used to do flavours for animals as well. Yeah.
Oh.
Cows apparently like orange.
Oh,
flavor.
That's cute.
And pigs like cayenne pepper. Well, there you go.
That's a fascinating job.
You didn't know you wanted to know.
Now I'm thrilled that I know these things.
Yeah,
and at what point then did you leave this amazing job?
I left to go to Australia to my then boyfriend, now husband.
Wow, so, yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. And I came back to Ireland and developed pizzas.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So what's the best pizza flavour then?
Oh, well, no, it was actually Iceland frozen food.
Okay.
So I did their sausage pizza.
Sausage
Not nearly
pizza.
As exciting as flavors.
Well, I don't know. Isn't right now, I'm so starving, I'd eat anything, to be honest with you.
Tilly, that is genuinely
fascinating. I'm thrilled to talk to you this morning and finally talk to an actual crisp flavor tester. Thanks so much, Tilly.
No bother, Dave. Good
See
to talk
ya.
To you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
And as if that wasn't enough for the podcast, you're also going to get a blast of Cyclone, who is the first ever Irish gladiator. She is an absolute boss. My next guest has been causing absolute havoc as the newest gladiator on the show Gladiators on the BBC. Saturday nights, just around 6 o'clock. That's just like the time to be watching it. She is called Cyclone. She is Irish. And she's joining me now. Cyclone, you have blasted onto screens and you are taking no prisoners.
Glad you think so. Always happy to hear that.
So your first event, I mean, I know Cyclone's not going to admit it, I think, but were there any nerves as you stood there on that raised podium?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I went in knowing Duel was going to be an event that no one could knock me off of. So it's complete confidence in what I could do. So it's just about like executing it, having a bit of fun, letting them knock me around a bit just to give them a false sense of security, give the people the show. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, definitely. That was the thing. I mean, as the commentary was going, no one has ever seen that in Duel before, where you just let the first couple of people just give you a few digs and then you got stuck in.
Yeah, 100%. Because even when we were training and the gladiators were like hitting me, I was like, no one's going to hit me harder than the gladiators. So I was ready to take a punch to the face.
What do you think then it is about this particular event, this event Duel? What do you think it is about this event that you're so adapted for?
I think because given the nature of this show, it's very much like a David and Goliath type of battle. And because I'm genuinely so huge and so massive, it just works so well in my favor. And I did powerlifting for so long. So I'm so used to just like, I'm just planted when I'm standing somewhere.
Yeah.
So that definitely plays into my advantage.
Right, I suppose. Yeah.
And I'm tall as well.
Well, the very first contestant that you dispatched who landed down off the podium decided that you should be called Psycho, not Cyclone. I mean, you were giving her the death stare.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Didn't like that comment too much. Actually, now thinking back, I understand where she's coming. Bit cheeky.
I'd say so. Now, you mentioned powerlifting as, you know, something that you've done and obviously stands you in good stead in events like this. But what about preparing for Gladiators itself? The fact that it's on TV, the fact that there's hair and makeup and costumes and all those other things, you know, like, was it very different to what you've competed in before?
Yes and no. As an athlete, I am used to just having to perform in front of people and perform to a high standard. So when it comes to nerves, even if I do get them, like, it's easy to settle them because I know, like, I'm just there to do a specific thing. And when you go onto the arena, it's just like game face on automatically. When it comes to the hair and makeup with powerlifting, you wouldn't think it. You do get that aspect of it. And I was someone who took that part seriously because I definitely believe in, if you look good, you'll do good. Do you know what I mean? So I always used to do my hair, wear a cool singlet. So it's basically the same, just with a lot more tackling people to the floor, I'd say.
Yeah, and huge amounts of cameras and all that kind of stuff as well. So no nerves at all from a TV point of view. That's amazing. But when you're in the room with the other gladiators, I mean, like, you're all projecting these unbelievable, strong personas. I mean, are you guys fighting over whose turn it is to get the cup of tea?
No, not at all. We're a unit. We're definitely a unit. Everyone does have their very individualistic characters, which I think helps because you don't feel like you're stepping on anyone else's toes, because everyone is like, we have, you know, the good guys, like you have Steel, so smiley, just so down for anything. And then you have like the likes of Legend, who's borderline sassy and kind of, you know, full of himself, which he'd probably admit to. But everyone is their own character. So everyone has kind of their own space. So I don't think there's much conflict.
Gotcha. Well, the reaction online has been absolutely huge to your appearance. I mean, people are talking about loving your bad attitude, your aggression, giving Legend a run for his money on the mic is another comment that was in. And don't mess with Cyclone. I love her already. You must be delighted with that reaction so far.
Yeah, so delighted. I'm glad people are taking to the character because it's a bit tricky because some people have said she's a bit of a villain. And I don't really think so, you know, because I think when a female is a bit more outright and a bit more like dominating, people automatically think, oh, she's the bad guy. But that's not what Cyclone is. She's just very self-confident. She'll say it how it is, and then she'll go for what she wants unapologetically. So that's Cyclone's thing, I would say.
I love the way you refer to Cyclone in the third person. You know, it's a role. It's a psyche you must get into to perform this way.
100%. She's such a character. I think girls alike can inspire too, because she's just super empowering. Just gets the job done.
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the things I took away from it. Is I watched it with my twin girls who are 10. And they absolutely loved you. In fact, all the female gladiators and the female competitors as well. But they definitely loved Cyclone. And the fact that, as you said, Cyclone's someone they can look at and go, okay, well, she's from Ireland. I'm from Ireland. I can be that.
Yeah, I'm glad. I mean, it's nice seeing all the Irish people come out of the woodworks as well.
Yes, we're all here. We're all right behind you. Let's talk about your history. Obviously, you grew up in Wexford. I mean, how does someone from Wexford get to this situation where they find themselves on primetime Saturday evening television on BBC?
That's a good question. It's been a long journey. I think for me, it's just about like following your passions. That will always lead you to a good place. I've always been one to be open to opportunities. As I said, I did powerlifting, but I started off doing athletics. And then athletics, I went to rowing. I think I did basketball for like one session just to try it. And I was like, nope, that's not about me. And then a bit of dry rowing, and then got into like the powerlifting, the calisthenics. And I'm always open to opportunities. Like I'll never say no, I'll always try it. I think that's realistically what's led me here.
Yeah, I mean, and look, this thing, as always, looks like an overnight success where you come out of the woodwork straight away onto this and we're all like, oh yeah, yeah, Cyclone. She just did nothing before that. But obviously you've got a whole career behind you of putting the hours in, putting the work in, and becoming the strong person you are right now.
1,000%. And that's the same with all the other gladiators. That's the same with anyone who's successful. It takes a lot of time. Like, people only see it when it's out and it's this big thing, but no one sees like the work you've put in, like the amount of training that you go through, all the passion you put in as well. Like, that's huge. It's you know, exhausting to give yourself completely to like your sport, or whatever you're doing. And there's times where, you know, your work goes unrecognized, but I do believe like over time it will come to fruition if you just keep yourself dedicated.
Yeah. Well, when you were growing up in Wexford, were the facilities good? Was the support good? Were the clubs good there that helped you try all these different sports and eventually settle on powerlifting?
I would say so. Yeah. Like, for a small place, because I'm from Enniscorthy in Wexford, which is even smaller.
Yeah.
There's not much when it comes to like, you know, physical aspects of places where you can go and do different things. But as time went on, it did get better. Like, they built like a whole Olympic track there, I think, when I was like in my teens. So that's when I did athletics, and there was a proper track where all of us could train. Because at the start, we were doing it in a field somewhere, just kind of running up hills and stuff. And then after a while, as like the demand got bigger, it was progressing, which is nice to see. And then as I grew in my sport, like, I was able to travel to different places like Athlone to do my competitions, and then further into, you know, the UK to do other competitions, and then further out into the world to do all this other kind of stuff. But it does show the world is bigger than where you come from.
Absolutely it is. And if you're prepared to jump into it and give it everything, then this is what can happen. People might recognize your brother as well. Festy has lined out of Ireland on a number of occasions. This strength definitely runs in the family, right?
Oh, 1,000%. We have to credit our parents for that one.
They were the ones giving you these opportunities and this encouragement.
Yeah, for sure. They've always been supportive. As I said, Bessie's been doing soccer since the start, but I was doing a bunch of things. At one point, I was very much academic, and that's where I wanted to go. And then I was like, maybe not. Let me try to do something else. And then it got into the sport thing, and that's how it progressed. But they've always been behind us, like 1,000%.
Amazing. Are there more Rebeceles on the way, or are we just looking with you and Festy for the moment?
No. Oh, no, no. Just the two of us. No football players coming anytime soon.
Brilliant. Right, listen, before I let you go, Cyclone, I've got a quick fire round of questions I ask all my guests on the show. So I'm going to throw them at you and see how you get on. Number one is, what is Cyclone currently obsessed with?
Oh, that's a good question. Sleep.
Really? Sleep?
That's where all the power comes from. Just hibernating, eating loads, going to sleep, rejuvenating. Like, even between games, I'd be passed out behind the scenes.
The amount of professional athletes that I've spoken to who have given me that answer is just amazing. It is such an important part when you're working at that level.
100%. Like, it's funny, when you're younger, you think sleeping is a punishment. You know, when you're sent to bed, and you're like kicking and screaming, you want to stay up. And now I'd someone sent me to bed, I'd be so appreciative. I'd be like, yes.
Well, I'm the opposite of a professional athlete, and I would absolutely feel the same way about it, to be honest, with your Cyclone.
Like, all the other gladiators genuinely are like, how can you just fall asleep like that?
That's a brilliant trait to have, in fairness. Second question is, who is the most famous person in your phone? And you're not allowed to say Festy.
Whoa. I think I will say, I'm going to say Legend. But Legend. That's going to get to me. I'm going to say Legend.
Yeah, he'll hear that. He'll love that. Think back to 8 years old then, Enniscorthy. When you're in second class, what was in your lunchbox?
What was in my lunchbox? That was ages ago. I'd say, you know what I used to love? The Fruit Loops.
Yes.
Love those. I don't think they do those anymore, but we used to go crazy for them. So those for sure.
Okay. And the final question I ask all my guests, and I know it's a little bit odd, but the reason I ask Cyclones, because I don't, but I want to know, do you wash your legs in the shower?
Of course I do. Of course I do. I've heard this debate though, and I think it's, as someone who does like actually take the time to wash your legs, I'm like, how is it? Why would you skip your legs?
I just let gravity take care of it. There's all suds running the whole time. It's fine.
Gravity, that's so interesting. No, I definitely do wash my legs for sure.
Okay, well, we look forward to seeing you kick everyone's ass on Gladiators on BBC. You'll catch it on Saturday evenings. Do not miss it, because Cyclone is going to cause some ructions in there. I can't wait to see what else happens. Cyclone, thank you so much for taking the time. Best luck with the rest of the series. And when it's all done and dusted, come on into the studio and have a chat.
I appreciate it so much, and I definitely will be.
There you go. That's the podcast. See, we did it all in between the ad break and a song. The whole podcast is put together. Well done, lads. And now we've got 30 seconds that we need to start talking about something else. See? This is how you do. It's Guerrilla Radio.
Any other news?
Play Guerrilla. Can you play music on a podcast? Have we got a license on Today FM?
You should know.
No, I know from my podcast. I don't know on this podcast. Anyway, if you have a license, play Guerrilla Radio by Rage Against the Machine. A little snippet over here. Ready? Ready? Okay. Ready? Ready? I don't know if we have a license.
If there was silence there, I wasn't allowed.
Yeah, we weren't allowed. Okay, cool. Thanks.
Bye. Dave Moore on Today FM.